Okay, we're rolling.
Did you make a bunch of these?
No, I can make more if you want.
No, I think, anyone else want the new notes?
Just want to get a picture of this. It's hard to see it on the screen.
Last week you were still on the same piece of paper.
Okay, so what we've been doing is just to, you know, backtrack a little and start over again. How's that, Doug?
Yeah, I think I agree with that.
Okay, and how about that? Come on.
Oh, look at what you're doing.
I'm all over. Where was I?
I'm gonna throw this board at you.
This was it, right? Okay, let's go back to this.
There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. So, how's that? We're not gonna be on this too long. I just want to backtrack a little bit. So what we've been looking at is, I believe the Bible teaches, I think we see it, that the day of the Lord is one 24-hour day, and we're seeing a lot of these events that we study and come across in our reading all point to one day. So we saw that the sun and the moon, there's going to be sign and sun, moon, and the stars. The earth is going to become dark, and then the revelation of Jesus Christ is going to happen. And then what we're looking at is the resurrection of the saints today, and we're going to try to get through some of these. But this is the Feast of Trumpets, and then the Day of Atonement. We saw that on the Trumpet of Jubilee is in the Day of Atonement. So you can see where, I don't know how far we'll get today, but we're going to start with when Christ appears, then the saints are going to be resurrected. And I do believe that because of John 5, this event here, the resurrection of the saints and the resurrection of the wicked and the judgment seat of Christ is literally within an hour. And we'll look at, I don't know if we'll get to it or not, but we'll look at that. So do we want that, or do we want today's study, this?
That.
Okay, we'll go here. Can you see that? There is other copies of this too, and apparently now resurrection is spelled with two U's, so. Okay, so we can see when Christ appears, so we're just going to go through this. When Christ appears, the revelation of Jesus Christ, that brings the resurrection of the saints. And you could see it right here. The verses are here. You know, if you want to turn there, you can. Turn to John chapter 6. But I just show you, 1 John 3:2 says, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." So I'm told when he appears, we're going to be like him, and he's resurrected, right? So to me, this is pointing to our resurrection. Philippians 3:11 says, "If by any means that I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." That's Titus 2:13, right? "Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." So that's the same event. And I'm told when he appears, there's going to be a resurrection. So verse 21, "Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned unto like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself." So you can see the verses right here. They just keep pointing more to one event where there's going to be a resurrection of the saints, and it's at his appearing. So you can't, the Bible teaches one resurrection. Does not teach multiple resurrections 7 years before, 3.5 years, or 1,000 years later. The word resurrection is mentioned, I believe, 22 times. I believe 22 times. I could be wrong. I'm almost sure of it. And every single time it's singular. There are not multiple resurrections. There is a day when everybody is resurrected. 1 Timothy 4:8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness." That crown of righteousness is a resurrected body. which the Lord, the righteous judge, so there's a judgment on that day too, shall give me at that day, and not me only, but all them that love his appearing. So this would include the Old Testament saints, the New Testament saints. Everybody's waiting for the event. Romans chapter 8 says, all of creation is groaning for the adoption of the sons of men. 1 Peter 5:4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Okay, let's look at John. Amanda? John 6, 39 to 54. And look at what he says about raising the dead and when they're raised.
And this is the Father's will, which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews then murmured at him, because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
So, what's the resurrection? How many last days can there be? Can there be a last day, and then 7 years later, another last day, and 1,000 years later, another last day? There can only be one last day, and all the evidence here points to when he appears, that's the last day, and that's when we're resurrected. You know, now I like these too. So are we to be like Catholics and say some hocus pocus over some cracker and some wine, and it turns literally into his blood and into his body?
Yeah,
right?
He's not talking. Exactly.
Where do we find that? He goes on to say, just to touch on this, he says, my words are spirit.
Right.
Many departed from him because he said, you know, to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he said, my words are spirit. So it's spiritual typology here that we eat. What did he call this? He calls this honey, right, that we eat it, right?
Taste of the Lord.
And not only that, he also said, I shall not drink of the fruit of this vine. So he's talking about literally grapefruit, you know, until I drink it in my Father's kingdom. Okay, so you see it there. I mean, to me, these things to me are obvious. And turn over to John 11, just more evidence of this. We all know this account, Mary and Martha. And so Jesus is saying, I'm the bread of life. He is the life. He is life. Life is only in him. And is Jesus still dead on a cross?
No.
He's resurrected. He's up. He's resurrected. And I'm being told that when we see him, he's going to resurrect us with him. 23:11, 23 to 24. Okay. Let's look at 21. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. And Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in
the last day.
The resurrection? When? At the last day. She didn't say in one of the resurrections. She didn't say in one of the last days. She said in the resurrection at the last day. How did she know that? He taught that to them, right? So then Jesus says to her, like he just read, we just read in John 6, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, I'm going to lose it. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. What a promise. It's very easy for us to believe. He does everything else. He does all the rest of the work. It's very easy for me to bow my knee to him and believe. And he says, that's what's going to get you saved. The judgment seat of Christ, he is going to judge you by what you believed. And like we say all the time, it's not just saying it. Did that belief change your life? Has there been a 180 in your life where you are now following a direction? You're no longer walking with the world, but your life has been changed, and you didn't do it, Mark. You didn't do it. Jesus Christ did it. You can have no victory. I bet you if we went through everybody here, all the victories you've tried to have in your flesh are failures. But yeah, you felt God intervene at times too, giving you victory over sin, over temptations, right?
Don't discourage folks saying it has to be a 180, because mine wasn't a 180. Mine was a degree at a time. Did it turn into a 180?
No, yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You know, but when I first accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, things changed on the inside that hadn't yet presented themselves on the outside.
Oh, yeah. Like the Ryan that comes here.
Yeah.
That's to me. See, we've always heard this too. Well, I was born again on July 3rd at 3:30 in the morning. Maybe that's when you were enlightened, but I do believe, like Curtis says, and like Ryan that comes out, it's a process.
Right.
It's a process where God is now, he's allowing things to take place in your life, and he's saying, where are you going to turn, Tom?
Right.
Where are you going to turn? They're going to threaten you. You're going to fire you if you don't get this vaccine. They're going to fire you if you don't put this mask on. They're going to fire you if you don't use the correct pronouns. And you're saying, I'm not doing it. That's not you. That's the spirit in you saying, we're not going along with the world. You're going to follow me, right? I agree, Curtis. Mm-hmm. And I've gotten so far from that where people are like, I don't know, you know, when I was born again. Well, you knew your first birthday, didn't you?
No,
I know when I was enlightened.
You were told that too. I was told that.
Yeah, that's right.
When I was
that's
born,
right. Yeah.
I don't remember none of that day.
That's right.
You know?
I know when I was enlightened. But I also, there was a process, but I'll say this. I'm at the light with John, right? I've said this before. If this isn't right, I'm out of here. I'm living like everybody else, right? But this keeps me centered. It keeps me focused. It keeps me on the straight and narrow path. This is my life because he is my life. Okay, so you can see it here. John, okay, Job here. How about this one? Job knew about this. I love stuff like this because this is so much evidence of what's being taught here. And people don't like to hear it because they want an easy believism and they want an easy out. Now, you don't have to go through tribulation. Job knew about this event. Listen to the way Job puts it. But a man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and where is he? As the waters fail from the sea and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. So here you go. Here's another one. Let me finish. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Oh, that thou wouldst hide me in the grave, that thou wouldst keep me in secret until thy wrath is past. When is that? Well, the wrath is on the day of the Lord, the day of wrath. That thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call, right? He's going to call us, and I will answer thee. Thou wilt have the desire to the work of thine hands. You know, the desire of his work is to resurrect you into an everlasting life. But look at Job. Job knew this. This is like New Testament stuff. This is like stuff we were just reading. Job was well aware of it. Yeah, you know, I'll say it again. Everything points to one event, including, look at this, 12, and the heavens be no more. Mm-hmm. Curtis, there's a guy we love. He doesn't want to hear this.
Yeah.
He's not coming on Sunday morning because he thinks that there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth 1,000 years later, and he just does not want to hear this anymore. And he said, he texted, I'm not coming until this Bible study's over. And it's because of this. Because people still hang on to a millennial reign where humans are going to survive the wrath of God, the new heaven and a new earth, and they are going to live on the earth in their fleshly body. I'll say it again. I asked the question, well, when do they get resurrected? If people are living in their flesh on this earth for 1,000 years, when is their resurrection? If there's only one resurrection at the second coming of Christ. I just put these things together, and it's Occam's razor, right? The simplest answer is the answer.
I thought that was about a cat in a box.
If you want it to be.
Yeah.
Okay, so 1 Corinthians 15 talks a lot about the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15, let's just break it down here.
Well, with that thought that you just said, because this teaching really has made a lot of folks leave the church, leave the Bible study. I think everybody here already understands it. Is it worth losing the whole body of Christ?
Well, don't. Like
because
I said,
if
we
you ain't born again, you ain't getting there anyhow.
Right. To me, I was asked to do this
right.
by a bunch of people to put a teaching table. Even though we did this a couple of years ago in another roundabout. But I was asked the last couple months to put something together, and you know, I won't revisit it again. But
I think if you look through the scriptures, you should not be surprised when people walk away.
Right. Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of times when Jesus spoke and they couldn't take it and they left.
And that's my point. You know, I mean, what we're doing here is preparing people to defend what we believe and why we believe it. And we saw a couple weeks ago in Daniel chapter 11 where God says, I'm going to use you people. Mm-hmm. Well, we're the ones who have to know this, you know, to be able to. And I say it again, the ones that don't want to hear it, there should be the ones coming here because they're in a gray area with it. They don't understand it. But instead, they don't want to hear it, so they don't want to come here. So all I can do is this is what I believe God put on my heart. I had people ask me to put something together on the day of the Lord, and that's what I'm doing. So, I mean, I don't understand why people wouldn't want to hear this. To me, this is faith building.
I want to, you know how we had talked a few weeks ago about how we go to this, you know, that we're going to this church, and not everything do we agree with, or stuff like that. But here's the thing. If you're really seeking after the truth, whether a person agrees, disagrees with what's being taught, here, there, wherever. If you're seeking the truth, you'll want to sit and learn.
Yeah.
You're not afraid of it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I'm saying. Yep. If I know what I believe, okay, I'm not afraid of it, and I'm not afraid of hearing this teaching or hearing an opposite teaching because I know what God has taught me.
That's right.
And people who, I don't know, if maybe not secure in their beliefs, if they want to get scared and run away, they're not secure in what their own knowledge is then.
I think they are secure. They think they know it.
Right. If they're afraid of something that Tom says and they're leaving because of it, what is that saying about them?
Yeah.
Like, you can disagree, but shouldn't you keep seeking and say, well, why? Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah.
That's what I say, Ash. I mean, I think you make a good point, Elise. Why not hear it out? You know, why not hear and listen to it? You still don't have to agree with it, but why not hear it out? And
what
just
you have to lose.
Exactly.
To learn and study, hear something that I've never heard before. Just because you've never heard it before doesn't mean that it's wrong.
Right. That's right.
Amen.
So,
and like I said, maybe you will hear something that will go, okay, I get it. You know, it makes sense to me. All right,
or
so
you may not get it.
Yeah.
Because you can still and may not get it. So
yeah, I'll say this.
Not getting this.
Ash, I'll say this. We all believed it.
Yeah.
We all believed it. We all believed there was going to be some millennial kingdom. People were going to live on the earth in their flesh, you know. But this teaching has brought us, not because of me, but because of what the scriptures say. I believe that.
And even at the, where we're going in Warren, there's where he's teaching right now, millennial kingdom and people living, the exact opposite of that.
Yeah.
But to me, I like learning
yeah.
both. And
yeah.
hearing both.
Yes.
Because then I know that I want to be firm in what I do.
That's right.
And by hearing both and studying both, you see where the mistakes are or where the, you know, what's not being taught correctly.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, where the incorrections are.
So, and I believe God has us there for a reason and
right.
learning that. And I don't think the timing is any coincidence learning that. And learning this at
yeah.
the same
Well, I say it again. Once again, these teachings, we get it.
Mm-hmm.
This is for us to use to for people that don't get it. And that's why, to me, it's like, take the notes, look over them, go over them again, listen to this again. You know, just be well, you don't have to know all of it, but just be known that when somebody says something, well, that's not what the Bible says,
mm-hmm.
right? All right, so 1 Corinthians 15 talks about a lot of the resurrection. We don't have to go all over it, so everybody there? Okay, so 15, here at 1552. No, you know, let's look at 50. And this is another one of those verses that I bring up that I don't know how you can not see this. 50, now I say, brethren, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither does corruption inherit incorruption. So when Christ comes, is he not coming with his kingdom?
Yeah.
So can flesh and blood inherit it? So it's only for resurrected people. Right? In a moment, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. Feast of trumpets, at the last trump. For where am I? Go ahead, dear.
And the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. And the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Well done, dear.
Okay. Just real quick, this has been bubbling in my head. All right. There aren't two resurrections still coming.
Right.
All right. There's
yeah.
the resurrection of the righteous and the resurrection of the
dead. That's
damned.
Right.
They are 1,000 years apart.
I don't think so. I think they're an hour apart.
An hour apart.
Well, I'll show you why.
Okay, well, not 1,000, 100 years. Isn't it 100 years apart? You know, Satan's locked up in the pit for 100 years.
Right, but I believe right. they're already resurrected at the great white throne judgment. I'll show you why.
Okay.
I'll show you. Okay? Okay, so you could see there, when is death swallowed up in victory?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At the second coming. Death, where's that? It's at the resurrection.
The saints, yep.
It's
those
right. So exactly. Yeah. So
now for the ones who aren't.
Yeah. Well, we're gonna get to it. Okay. So look at verse 15:20. But now is Christ risen from the dead, become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, also by man came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die,
mm-hmm.
all, I believe these are saved and unsaved,
yeah. mm-hmm.
and Christ shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, after that they which are Christ at his coming. That then cometh the end, when he had delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and all authority and power, he must reign till he had put all enemies under his feet. Mm-hmm. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So when is death destroyed? Well, we just saw here the second coming. No more death. Revelation 20 says that no more dying, no more sickness, no more pain. When? At the second coming.
Saints,
hang on, right? We're going to get there. So look at Ezekiel. All right, let's go ahead and go there then. I was trying to save this towards the end, but this, okay, so I just wanted to go to
because
John.
I know this is the argument, right?
Right.
And I understand what you're saying, I really do, but to give a man an answer to it, these are the questions that are brought up.
Well, I'm trying to work my way to the answer.
Okay, well, then let's see again what it says in Ezekiel.
Okay, let's go to Ezekiel. All right.
Because I'm not trying to drive your
No.
No, I love this. This is good to talk in.
Yeah, no, this is good. So, Doug, Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. So Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. Now, so now you have the saints, Curtis, you're right. You now have the saints resurrected, right?
Mm-hmm.
37. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. This is right up your alley, Doug. So now, right? So now you have the saints resurrected. And Curtis is right. As of right now, I don't see the wicked resurrected.
Right.
Okay? So 37, 1 through 10.
Okay. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them round above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, and that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army.
So what just happened? You had people resurrected. You had a resurrection of people, and what did they become? A great army.
Mm-hmm.
How do we appear with Christ in heaven? On horses, with an army.
Mm-hmm.
So here you go.
That's why this is the rapture, or the resurrection.
Absolutely it is. It's not just some neat little song. Right? This is a resurrection verse, and it's the remnant of Jewish people being resurrection and raptured with the saints. And what are we? A great army. Well, what do you need a great army for? Because the next event is Armageddon. The next event on that calendar is Armageddon.
Which is another great army.
Our great army is coming against their, right, the mingled, right? So look at that. Did you want to say something?
No, go ahead.
So yeah, Curtis, you're right. So now their great army, their mingled army in Daniel chapter 2, the potter's clay with iron,
right.
They're coming, and he's drawing them as hooks towards Jerusalem. And what we've said it before, when Christ comes, is he coming to Cleveland?
No.
Right over Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
And we are going to be in a great army with him. So in the next event here, is the Day of Atonement, Armageddon. So Psalm 58 turned to Isaiah 34. Psalm 58, 10 and 11 says, The righteous shall rejoice. That would be us, right? The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. Does that sound familiar? Remember that. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. So that a man shall say, Verily there is a reward for the righteous. Verily he is a God that judgeth. So he's coming to judge in the earth. So our feet are going to be in the blood of the wicked. The day of vengeance, you have a judgment. Isaiah 34. Gailey, you want to read?
Sure.
1 through 8.
34, 1 through 8.
And then get your finger in Revelation 14.
And Isaiah 34, 1 through 8. Come hear ye nations to thee, and hearken ye people. Let the earth hear in all that is therein, the world and all the things that come forth of it. For the indignation of the Lord is upon all nations, and his fury upon all their armies. He hath utterly destroyed them. He hath delivered them to the slaughter. Their slain also shall be cast out, and their stink shall come up out of their carcasses, and the mountains shall be melted with their blood. And all the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall fall down, as the leaf falleth off from the vine, and as a falling fig from the fig tree. For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea, and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of the kidneys of rams. For the Lord hath a sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea. And the unicorns shall come down with them, and the bullocks with the bulls, and their land shall be soaked with blood, and their dust made fat with fatness. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance, and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion.
A lot of blood being splattered here. Right? And what did he call it? The day of the Lord's vengeance. And, you know, once again, what other event do you see here? I see this earth being destroyed. So how could it be destroyed 1,000 years from that, from this point, when it's being destroyed here? So here's my point. Here, now you have Armageddon. You have the next event in that 24-hour day. And this is the judgment seat of Christ, which is the Day of Atonement, which is another part feast that's going to be fulfilled. So Revelation 14, same thing. I know we've done this a lot, but just look at what it says. 12. Look at 12. Here's the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord henceforth. Yea, that the spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works do follow them. So everyone's dying from that point on. And look at the very next verse. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the white cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. So we know what's about to happen here. He's going to reap us, right? He's coming out. He's going to reap us. Incidentally, there's an angel coming out saying, reap. What is the best? The voice of the archangel and the trump of God. This goes along with 1 Thessalonians. The voice of the archangel is going to come out. Daniel chapter 12. You have Michael on the scene when there's a resurrection. Okay, but now look at verses 18. Now, this is the opposite. They've been brought over to Armageddon, and the angel came out of the altar, had power over fire, and cried with a loud voice to him that had the sharp sickle, thrust in thy sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vine. This is them. This is not us. This is them. For her, Mystery Babylon, grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust the sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the winepress, even to the horses' bridles, a space of 1,600 furlongs. That's Armageddon. That's him slaughtering people. Isaiah 63, who is he that cometh with dyed garments from Bozrah? He's slaughtering people as he's coming through, and the valley of Armageddon is being filled with blood. Revelation 19, same thing, 11 to 15.
Hey, Tom, let me interrupt.
I don't got time for you.
Okay.
As you kidding.
I know. I just pulling your tail. But anyway, so we'll be coming back with Jesus on white horses, if I understand this correctly, but we will not be battling with him.
Yeah,
we will be observing.
We're along for the ride.
Yeah, okay. Just
we're just along.
Okay.
And what is the sword, Doug? What is the sword that Jesus Christ is fighting them with? He's speaking. He's speaking. And they're dropping dead. Why? Because the glory of God is now appearing unto all mankind, and you cannot look at the glory of God in your flesh and live. So somebody please tell me how they're going to survive that.
You know, it's cool. Okay. He speaks it into existence in the beginning.
That's right.
And he speaks it into completion at the end.
Doug, you know what I noticed studying all this? When I studied eschatology and end times, there's a constant creator,
right?
Of a creator. And that's because he's going to regenesis again.
Okay. So I still don't see that 100 years where Satan's bound.
Thousand.
Thank you.
We're getting there.
If this happens in a 24-hour period, right, and it's all done, and the judgment's done, so where's that 100 years?
We're getting there. Thousand. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Yeah.
We are. I promise you, we're working towards it. Okay, so Revelation 19:11. Why am I in 2011? Okay. And I saw heaven open and a white horse. Behold, him that sat was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he does judge and make war.
Yeah.
So there's war and a judgment coming. His eyes were a flame of fire, and he had on his head many crowns and a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture, there it is again, dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies that were with him followed him upon white horses, clothed. So, Mark, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. It's a resurrection. This is Ezekiel 37. It's a resurrection. A great army that is now clothed. And out of
his name is changed back to the Old Testament.
It's right.
Say Jesus here.
It's right. That's right. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with the rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress, right? As we just read in Revelation 14, he treadeth the winepress in the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. So look at 21. And the remnant that were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which proceeded out of the mouth, and the fowls of the air filled their flesh. Everybody's dead. Everybody's dead here. We've been resurrected. The wicked haven't been resurrected yet, but I want to show you something. So this is why I believe they are going to be resurrected within an hour of our resurrection. They just got slaughtered, right? We just saw it. All of them got slaughtered at Armageddon. Acts 24:15. And have hope toward God that they themselves also allow. So I just want to show you, he doesn't separate these by 1,000 years, right? There shall be a resurrection of both of the just and the unjust. It doesn't say of the just and then the unjust, and is a conjunction. He's combining those, that resurrection, with the just and the unjust. Daniel 12, we just saw this. Daniel 12, 1 through 4. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble, they're going to tell you it's a seven-year tribulation. The time of trouble is one day. It's Jacob's trouble when Jerusalem is surrounded by his enemies, and God is drawing the enemy towards Jerusalem in a hook, and he's going to put a hook in their jaw and bring them up to Armageddon. I'll show you that if we got time. Go ahead, dear.
So is the confusion that people say that they're resurrected to fight in Armageddon, or that, and we're saying that whoever's left on earth in the spiritual realm,
right,
forces are fighting Armageddon, but it's not, the resurrection of the dead has not happened.
Right.
Has not happened.
Yeah, well, I think Curtis makes a good point, because if you read Revelation 20, it could be confusing if you don't start tying all these other verses in with it. Because in Revelation 20, it says, blessed are he who had part in the first resurrection, that the second death. So people say, well, see, there's going to be a second resurrection. That's not what it says. It says, blessed he had part in the first resurrection, that the second death. Which means the second death, you've already been resurrected. What is the second death? Thrown into the lake of fire, alive into the lake of fire, which means you've been resurrected. Well, when were they resurrected? I believe after Armageddon, at the great, at the judgment seat of Christ,
which is the
resurrected.
Same day.
It's okay. Same day.
Where's,
and that's why I said.
Years?
Huh?
Where's the 1,000 years?
Well,
I mean, if it's all done right, in one day,
yes. See, this is my point. This is my point, and it's because, you know, the person that doesn't want to hear this, he said, why are we going over this again? I said, there's some confusion.
Yeah.
Why not study it?
Right.
Now, why wouldn't we want to know this?
Yeah, we know that, but where's the 1,000 years?
Right.
Show me the 1,000 years.
Right.
Can I ask you a question, too, that I'm thinking of as we've been talking about this? When you were talking in Matthew about one taken and one left, who's left?
Yeah, the remnant, the Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10, they're left.
But the first resurrection of the saved is first?
No, the ones taken are being taken to Armageddon.
Before our resurrection?
They're not resurrected. They're just being moved from...
No, but the order of your events, I think, is that we get resurrected first.
Right.
Okay. So if that's already happened, who are the ones left that didn't get taken?
Yeah, there's still a remnant, right? Because you have
the
dead in Christ.
That see it at the...
Well, you have Jewish people that still have to be resurrected on that day. A third of them.
I just needed to know who we were talking
about. Yeah.
And that makes sense to me.
Yeah, so there's a third of the Jewish people that still have to be resurrected on that day. They didn't get caught up. And plus, there's also saints that have to get caught up, go from earth to heaven. So that's the remnant that are left, that are going
to
be resurrected, right? Okay, so let's go to look at Daniel again. This is the same event. Michael shall stand up at a time. Thy people shall be delivered. Everyone that is found written in the book. Mm-hmm. So they're going to say, this is Israel. Nancy, are you in the book?
Everyone, right.
So this would include us. See, this is the problem that they have. Even my friend, he still has a dispensationalist thought that there's a different plan for the Jews than there is for the Gentiles. And they believe that Israel is still going to get the earthly land promised to them. But Curtis, they're going to get
something better.
A kingdom. Right? Okay, so, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake. So, once again, this does not divide the resurrected saints and the resurrected unjust. It says, and some to everlasting life. That's us, right? Mm-hmm. And, not then, and some to everlasting contempt. There's a resurrection of people of everlasting contempt. And it's in the same event, right? And they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they... turn many to righteousness as stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. So there's at least two witnesses that says there's a resurrection the same day for the just and the unjust. Here it is. This is the one to me that just sealed it and solidified it to me. John 5:21-29. It's here. That's clear. For as the Father raises up the dead, resurrection, right? And quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man and committed all judgment. He's coming to judge unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son even as they honor the Father. And he that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, what? The hour. I believe that. I believe there's an hour between the resurrection, just and the unjust. The hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father had life in himself, he had also given to the Son to have life in himself, and had given him authority to execute judgment. Also because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and they shall come forth, they that have done good, unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil to the resurrection of damnation. Gala, I see one resurrection. I see multiple witnesses that say there is one resurrection, and it is literally within an hour of each other.
Yeah. Don't have any problem with that. Where's the 1,000 years? Okay, because one day, 1,000 years, they cannot be the same.
It's right. And all that's right. What I said. That's what they'll say. They'll say, well, the 1,000 years is the day of the Lord.
No.
That's not what it says in 2 Peter. It says a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. As a matter of fact, there are also verses that say a day with the Lord, one day in his courts, is as 1,000. Doesn't say years.
Yeah.
It says as 1,000, meaning days.
Right.
So the number 1,000 is a kingdom number. It represents something just like the number 1, the number 2, the number 7. They represent something, and the number 1,000 is representative of a kingdom number. That's why I say
it. Yes, it is an actual time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So there you go. Here, one more. 2 Timothy 4:1. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. So here you go. We're going to add something else there. And his kingdom. Mm-hmm. See, the people that think, they don't, Curtis, they don't believe that the kingdom comes for another 1,000 years.
Well, we do.
Right.
Okay. Well, we believe that all this is happening today.
Yeah.
I'm still having a mathematical problem, and I have a very small brain. Okay? We've got to fit 1,000 literal years in this timeline.
So.
And it happens in a day and an hour. In 1,000 years,
that's right.
Inside of one day.
Here's what's going to happen.
Right after the enemies are made into his footstool.
Exactly.
That's when the 1,000 years begin.
And when is that? That's the judgment seat of Christ. So now the next event.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what did we have so far? We had the sun and moon. We had Christ appearing, revealed, being revealed. He had us being resurrected up into him. And then he had an army coming and slaughtering people at Armageddon. So now, what I believe the Bible teaches is those people are going to be raised up. And you'll say, what? They just killed them. Yeah, they need the resurrection. It is appointed for man once to die, then cometh the judgment. The reason that they're raised up right after they were slaughtered is because they're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ now. They have to stand before them, and we know the judgment seat is at his second coming. So look at Psalm 96:13. Before the Lord he cometh, and he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world, the earth and the world. Why did he just say earth twice? Why did he say the? Because he's going to destroy the earth too. And judge the world with righteousness and the people with truth. Romans 2:5-16. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasure up thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render every man according to his deeds. There's a judgment seat. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. So now you have the judgment seat of Christ. And he's going to judge Doug, just like he's going to judge my neighbor down the street that's unsaved. It's one judgment.
Can I just make some comment about Psalms 96? Cometh to judge the earth, that's the planet which was cursed.
Right.
He shall judge the world, which is the planet and everything on it.
And the people. And everything, right? So it's everything. The whole kit and caboodle there, and it's at the second coming.
On one day.
It's right. So these people are raised. Mm-hmm. They're raised up to stand before him. When? Well, this is the judgment seat of Christ, the second coming. Romans 14:9-12. For this is the end. Christ both died and rose and revived that he might be Lord of the dead and living. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. It is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee. Alan, what do you think that means?
Everyone
shall bow to me, every tongue. That's everybody. shall confess, so that every one of us shall give account unto himself to God. I say it again. When you read this stuff, look at, we'll get there in a second. I am the light of the world, and to whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world. Wait a minute, I thought he's coming to judge the world. But to save the world. First coming. Right? That's the first coming. He that rejecteth me receiveth not my words, but had one that judgeth him. The word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Last day. So you can see, this next time he comes, he's coming to judge the world. And he's going to judge the hearts and the intents of man. He's going to judge what you believe. There's not this judgment seat of Christ where we receive our crowns and our rewards while the rest of the world is suffering down here. Right? It's the same event. So here's my point. I've brought this up before. I find this interesting. He's talking about the generation 2,000 years ago when he was witnessing to those people. And look what he says. The queen of the south, it's right here, Luke 11, 31, 32. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment. Shall rise. Who's the queen of the south? Sheba. Mm-hmm. She got saved. With men of this generation and condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. Behold, a greater than Solomon is here. The people of Nineveh repented, right? So this is a resurrection of the just. The men of Nineveh shall rise in the judgment with this generation. So Nineveh, Curtis, I don't know the numbers here, 2,000 years before Christ?
Yes, at least.
Right?
Yeah, right around there.
So you have a generation of people being risen up with a generation 2,000 years later, and yet now we've gone 2,000 years from that. Mm-hmm. So everybody's going to be raised up at the same time. In this generation, and shall condemn it, for they repented. When you repent, you get saved, right? At the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater than Jonas is here. You see my point? This is all the same event. I think people don't understand that just because somebody just got slaughtered doesn't mean they can't get resurrected seconds later or whatever. The reason for the resurrection is that they are to receive their damnation bodies. And when you read Revelation 20, it says, after 1,000 years, they're released out of their prison. They're not resurrected. They've already been resurrected. And they stand before the judgment seat of Christ. I think we could keep going. Does everybody see? Can you at least see where I'm coming from? Could I be wrong? Yes. But the evidence tells me the globe is going to be, or the flat, or whatever. The earth is going to be dark. Christ appears. He rolls back the square. Everybody sees the Father and the Son on the throne. There's a resurrection. We're caught up. Other ones are resurrected and become a great army. There's a slaughter at Armageddon. They're raised. The wicked are raised after Armageddon at the judgment seat of Christ. Nations. Well, the sheep and the goat are nations. And what does he do? On that day, he's going to separate the sheep nations from the goat nations. The wheat and the tare are people. On that day, he's going to separate the wheat from the tare. The parables are for, you know where I got a lot of this from? God said, if you want to understand the kingdom of heaven, study the parables.
Well, he says the kingdom of heaven is like unto.
That's
like
right.
13 times.
And what does he say? Why speakest to us in parable? It's for you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. So I started studying these. And that's where I got a lot of this stuff, where it's like, this is all on the same day. You know, we brought up the wedding guests. You notice in that story, the account of the wedding guest, there's no bride because the wedding guests become the bride. They're clothed in white raiment. They have wedding garments on. They become the bride. It's the same event.
There's another weird thing. All but one, but he gets in, and then he's noticed that he doesn't have the clothes and he's thrown out.
Yeah.
So he got in. But then he was kicked out.
Yeah. Did he get in, or was he trying to get in?
No, he was in.
I got to have to look at it. Anyway, okay. So here's my point. So here you go, Curtis.
Yeah.
Here's what happens. Here's what I believe happens next.
Right.
So now the judgment seat happens. There's a separation between them and us.
Sheep and goats, last day, angels today.
So where are they going? If we're on a new earth, a new heaven, and a new earth, where did they go?
Well, if this is the judgment seat, they're cast out into the everlasting fire.
They're going out to the pit.
Well,
the pit of hell.
If it's the judgment, the great right throne judgment.
It's not the great right throne.
Well, he said that was what he's doing on the day in the Valley of Jehoshaphat.
No. The Valley of Jehoshaphat, they go down to the pit. The great right throne judgment, nobody's going down to the pit. They're going up before the great right throne. And that's not a judgment of the just and the unjust.
Right.
That is a judgment just of the unjust.
Yeah.
So that's their final judgment. So to me, here, I'll show you. As a matter of fact, I'll show you. Psalm 9:17. So this is, I believe, the next event. This is the wheat and the tares, sheep and the goat.
Mm-hmm.
The wicked shall be turned into hell.
Right.
Hell. Hell's not outer. It's not, right? Like a fire.
Right. Yeah.
Hell is hell. And the nations that forget their God. So there you go. There are nations that also rejected him. Where are they going? They're going down to hell. Okay, so Curtis, we'll work our way through.
Hell and death are cast out.
What's that?
Hell and death are cast out.
Yes, after the thousand years.
Yeah, after the thousand years.
Right, so to me, that's the point of the thousand years. They're in their prison cell waiting for their arraignment, waiting for their trial. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. This idea that look at Revelation 5, and this is what I started noticing about this, where this didn't make sense to me about the thousand years, millennial kingdom. That the mingled people are going to be living together. Mm-hmm. That didn't make sense to me. So look at 5:10. Am I right? Oh yeah, yeah. Okay, so. And has made unto us our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Does it give a time period?
No.
We're on the earth, right? Does it give a time period? Does it say a thousand years? Turn back to Revelation 1. Look at 5-7. And from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and had made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion for 1,000 years, forever and ever. Same event. And behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. You can't have an ending and have another ending 1,000 years later. Saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Turn to Revelation 11. My point is, why is it that you don't hear about 1,000 years through these verses? What you have is eternity. Forever and ever means eternity. 11:15. And the seventh angel, that's the last one, right? Last trumpet. There were voices in heaven say, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign for 1,000 years. Forever and ever. So the first place we see, turn to Revelation 19, the first place we see the 1,000 years, look at Revelation 19, pick it up at 20. Yeah, let's pick it up at 20. So the beast, listen to what I'm saying. The beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which deceived them which had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. These both were cast, what? Alive. Mm-hmm. Where?
In the lake of fire.
That's the second death. That's not the first death. So these two were already alive once, been judged, and they were immediately cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Mm-hmm. Okay, so now here we go. And I saw, and the remnant, so the remnant of these people, we already read this, were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which proceeded out of his mouth, and the fowls of the, then all the fowls filled with their flesh. So look at, so where does this, what is the next event? And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit, that's hell, mm-hmm. right? And a great chain. And laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, cast him bound 1,000 years. So where did Satan go? Bottomless pit. These people just got slaughtered. Where did they go? Bottomless pit with him, right? And cast him into, if he's in the bottomless pit, and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up. They set a seal on him that he should deceive the nations no more till 1,000 years should be fulfilled, after that he must be loosed a little season. I'm going to go back to this. Psalm 9:17. The wicked shall be turned into what? Hell and the nations that forget their God. Right. So where did these people go? They went down into hell.
Right.
They didn't survive. They went down into hell. They're in hell, in the pit of hell with Satan, and he is in a prison cell in hell. He's not allowed out roaming around hell. He's chained in hell. I'll read it again. And laid hold of the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil, and bound him 1,000 years. He's bound in a prison cell 1,000 years, and he's not going to be released out of that prison cell until he goes in and deceives the nations that are in hell. And what does he say? He says, let's go up and get them.
The time he's mocked too, right?
That's right.
When he goes down there, like, and he become one of us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, because he dies like a man. Isaiah 14, if he dies like a man, where's he going? He's going down to the pit with them. That would be his first death, by the way. It's appointed a man wants to die. Okay, so verse 7. And when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. He's in a prison cell in hell. We already showed there are nations in hell. Okay? And he shall go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. In it, Gog and Magog, gather them together as battle, as a number of whom is the sand of the sea. There is no battle, by the way. The last battle is Armageddon. There's no war. There's no swords being fought here. There's no slaughters, right? He wants to battle them.
So the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, in Gog and Magog, that's all in hell.
In hell.
I don't care what it is.
Personally, it's bottomless.
Yeah, it's bottomless.
So, yeah. I mean, to me, it's dimensional. Mm-hmm. I do think it is in the earth,
yeah,
and it is a dimensional place.
The difference between in and on is huge.
And maybe it is hollow. I mean,
we don't know.
Yeah, my point is, they've gone under us.
Right. And so,
right, Curtis, if we're here, mm-hmm. they're under us.
Right.
That just cleared up a whole lot.
Yeah.
So here, let me finish it off for you, Ash. And they, okay, so, and shall go out to the sea, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them to battle, the number of the sand. So let me ask you something. If people are surviving on the earth for 1,000 years, can they number the sand of the sea? Or would this be every lost, unsaved person throughout history? That's the sand of the sea. Everybody who is lost and burning in hell, that is a great multitude of people. How can there be a number of the sand of the sea surviving for 1,000 years on the earth?
I think that number's way bigger than Abraham's.
It's right.
Stars.
There's more of them than there is of us. Okay, so hang on, Ash, listen. And they read, no, you read it, the next verse here. It's nice and slow.
And they went up.
Up. Which direction is up?
Up is up.
So that means they're under.
Under, and they go
okay.
up. So they're under the earth, or in hell.
Yep.
They go up, on the breath of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them.
Okay.
So no battle.
There's no battle here.
They come up.
That's right. What is devour? Devour means, right. It doesn't mean you destroyed them. You consumed them. You brought them up. And the next event is a great white throne judgment when death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. To me, this is clear. Who doesn't see this?
But is this not all spiritual beings in hell that we're dealing with? It's not really men. Are these not, like Gog and Magog are gods?
Yeah, Gog is a chief principle, right?
Right. So, like, I don't see evil people or the wicked being dealt with. I see that this is the unseen realm, of the wicked unseen realm. These are all spiritual beings. And they're going to come up and think they're going to attack Holy Jerusalem, which has already been glorified. The saints are there.
Yeah.
And God's going to...
That's it. God allows them, which I believe are unsaved, resurrected, wicked people with the spirit world, with devils. And they come up. God allows them. He's allowing it. Why? So he could consume them and bring them up to the great white throne judgment. I just want to show you this one more verse here. Isaiah 24, 21, 22. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the hosts of the high on high.
Those are spiritual beings.
Exactly. Those are devils. But, Gayla, we have a mingled kingdom here. And the kings of the earth. That are kings of the earth upon the earth. Those are humans, right? And they shall be gathered.
Maybe they're hybrids. Maybe they are part fallen angel and part, because the kings.
But they're human. But they're humans too, right?
Whenever that was talked about, the kings of the earth, as far as in Canaan, and they were not pure creatures.
But were all hybrids, or were there still humans too, mingled with the hybrids?
I don't know. That's what I'm searching
now. Okay.
Of the earth. Yeah.
All right. So let me finish it. Isaiah, and then we'll finish with this. Isaiah 24, 21, 22. It shall come to pass in that day. It's going to come to pass in that day. The Lord shall punish the host of the high ones. I believe that is the dimensional devils that are on high, and the kings of the earth. Those are humans that upon the earth. And they shall be gathered together as prisoners. That's what we just read. That just goes along with what we just read in Revelation 20. As prisoners are gathered in the what? Pit. That's hell. And shut up in the prison. And after many days, they shall be visited.
Ed 23 to your thought there.
I don't have it.
Then the moon...
So yeah.
All right. Yep. Well, wait a second. If the moon and stuff is confounded before then, how can it be?
I think he's just adding that, right?
You know, if this is after the 1,000 years and we're told that the last day is going to be when the moon and the sun are confounded, which would be the
first. Well, here's what I think is happening. After many days is 1,000 years later.
Okay.
But that event, the sun and the moon being confounded, goes with 21 and that he's going to punish them, right? That's
But all the other places where we see the sun and the moon being rolled back and all the confounding stuff is on the day of the Lord.
Right.
So how can it be on the day of the Lord and 1,000 years pass?
Because let me put it this way. The sun and the moon are going to be confounded, and then the Lord is going to punish the hosts of the high ones and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and he shall gather them in a pit, and shall shut them up in prison. So then I think he says he's going to add after that, after many days. So now the next, 1,000 years is that next. So the sun, moon still go along with the first part of this, but that last part there, after many days, that's 1,000 years later.
Well, the notes that I have here, and this is just a thought, the moon and the sun are confounded, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean it's taken away.
Right.
It says it's pale to the glory of the Lord.
Okay.
So God will outshine the sun and the moon.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that.
So
no, I think what's going on there is the first part of that, of those verses, are the day of the Lord. Then he says after they're going to, so in other words, that's going to happen, and then after many days they're going to be visited.
I see what he's trying to say. You're taking it in chronological, after many days they were visited, and then it's the sun and the moon.
Right.
I don't think that that's what it's talking about, the sun and the moon ahead. It's just saying later on. It's not going in a chronological order here.
Well, we know that there's a chronological order to this, and the
yes.
first part of that is the sun and the moon and the sun and the moon.
Right,
and
I think that's what
scroll.
He's saying. It's just talking... trying to describe how to say this.
There's two parts to it.
Right.
Yeah.
There's two events there.
He's talking about this and then just saying, and then 1,000 years later, like
mm-hmm.
this is fitting in above there. He's not
right.
He's not talking in chronological order right now that the 1,000 years is he's
it gets hard when you start taking things that we've believed.
I think the key is says after. He says after. So in other words, the sun and the moon are going to be darkened. He's going to punish them. They're going to go into prison.
He says after
okay.
those days. And
then it says, and after many days they shall be visited.
Right.
So I think after that, you know, the first part of that is sun and the moon, them going down into the pit, and then 1,000 years after they're going to be visited,
mm-hmm.
after that event.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I see what